Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Welcome to Aggressive Negotiations, coming to you outside Harishi Maze. I am just one of the Jedi Master hosts here, Matthew Rushing, and with me, as he is always, the indomitable, nay, should I say, impractically awesome dude. Huh. That's what I'm going to go with, John Mills.
Impractically awesome dude. I like that.
Like, it's so impractical how awesome you are. It's off the charts.
That's pretty cool, man. That's pretty cool. I am impractical and awesome. Those are two words that, well, you know what? I'll let the audience guess. My wife's used one of those words in regard to guess which one. Thank you, Matt. As always, it's wonderful to be here with you. I truly, truly look forward to our conversations. And they always give me a little giggle.
Well, I'm glad to do that, and hopefully that happens to everybody who's listening. If you want to catch up with us and give us your jokes, because we're gonna talk about some humor tonight.
Yes,
hit us up on Twitter at Join Nerd Party. That's the network account, or you can hit us up on the Jedi Masters. That's the show account. We're on Facebook. Facebook.com/TheNerdParty. We post all the shows there. We'd love your comments about what you think about the show. We love interacting with you guys. We will interact with you guys if you write something there. And we do for everybody who does write something. So please do that. You can also find us on TheNerdParty.com.
Yes.
That's the main website. You can find all the shows there. I mean, we've got so many great shows like Punch It and Outpost and SETI Alpha 3. I mean, the list goes on and on. There's just no end to the greatness on the Nerd Party. And, last but not least, you can find us wherever you get your podcasts. And if you happen to be on the main provider of podcasts, Apple Podcasts, hit us up with a star rating review. Just help us grow. It really does wonders. Not only that, but honestly, one of the easiest ways to help us out is if you see us post the show like on Twitter or Facebook, just hit share on that.
Yes.
Or hit retweet. It helps us out a lot. So, but John, something I was thinking about, and part of this has been fueled. And again, I apologize. I keep bringing this up, but obviously we talked to Bill and Bob last week for the Freemaker Adventures, and that show is so funny, and it got me thinking about the humor of Star Wars.
Yeah,
because I think that's one of the things about Star Wars is that it mixes drama and comedy and mythology all together to create something that's really memorable. And I first question I wanted to ask you, jumping into humor in Star Wars, what was the funniest thing from Star Wars that stuck with you the longest?
Oh my gosh. That is a great question, because now I'm going through the mental
I get paid this. Nothing for this, by the way, too. So, I mean, I'm just coming up with this.
Yeah.
Wow,
man. Because I know that there would be plenty of things, but something that I've always actually found funny? And the thing is, I'm a big physical comedy guy. I grew up in the era of Three's Company, John Ritter, doing all of his pratfalls and everything. Three Stooges still makes me laugh, that sort of thing. And it's going to seem really weird, but probably the one thing that has never gotten less funny for me in any sense of the words is on the sail barge when 3PO and R2 are trying to get off of it, and R2 pushes 3PO off, and you hear 3PO wail off the edge. Still makes me laugh to this day. I just think it's so funny because it's... it's that typical sort of, Laurel and Hardy best friend sort of thing. It's like, oh, what am I supposed to do? And your best friend just pushed you off of the sail barge. Like, there was no discussion. There was no talk about it. It was just like, fall. And then they go. What sticks out for you?
That is such a great question. And it's hard because there's so much about Star Wars that's really funny. And I think the thing... And the probably the line that I've really quoted the most is Han in A New Hope. And, you know, he's like, I'm fine. We're all fine. How are you?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
that kind of sarcastic and bumbling, like, I don't know what to say here moment. And like the whole thing, it just works. And I think that's one of the things that when I was thinking about humor in Star Wars is how much, especially throughout the series and all of them, that the humor is kind of based in a sarcasm. Like, I even think The Force Awakens, you know, where it's funny that BB-8 keeps buzzing Finn.
Yeah, that is pretty.
Ow! Stop that!
You know, that is pretty great. That is a great moment.
And it's that kind of like off the wall, but it has a sarcastic bent to it, and like there's something about it. Like it's funny, but it's not just like. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do.
I'm not being very articulate, and I apologize.
No. That's okay. See, the thing is, I think that talking about humor in Star Wars became exponentially more difficult because I think the original trilogy informed a lot of our senses of humor. Because I know for me, it came along at a very formative time, and you know, you're right to cite Han. Like, Han's humor definitely influenced what I found funny later in life and that sort of thing. And I remember, you know, seeing the movies with my dad and what he laughed at, and that always informs what you find funny. Fortunately, I think that the pratfall stuff works for me because I also grew up watching the original Muppet Show, and you know, that's sort of like silly madcap type of stuff. But
well, and I grew up watching all those old movies too, and there's a lot of that stuff in there.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Even Cary Grant movies or the Dick Van Dyke Show with
him falling over
the Dick Van Dyke Show is.
And you know, and the Three's Company and everything. But I think that the conversation about humor in Star Wars takes an interesting turn, and I just want to go. Let's just go right at it with the prequels, because
Lisa want to talk humor.
That there you go. Jar Jar went over like a lead balloon with a lot of people. I found him funny. I did not find him hysterical, but I found him funny. What was your reaction to him when you saw Phantom Menace? Like there are plenty of people I know that like Phantom Menace and like, except Jar Jar. I was fine with him. What was your reaction to him when you first, like, were his scenes dead to you where you were just like, let's just get through this? Or how did it play for you?
It's really hard. I have a hard time thinking back all the way back to 1999 at this point. Gosh, guys, it was a long time ago.
Almost 20 years.
Exactly. And I think for me that Jar Jar was a little bit of a 50-50, if I'm honest, at that point. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like some of it worked and some of it didn't. But I think part of me realized that Jar Jar wasn't necessarily for me in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
That was okay. I didn't think he was egregious or the worst sin ever that you know, George Lucas had ruined my childhood because of Jar Jar Binks. I just think that a lot like the droids in the original films, and especially C-3PO, where he's kind of bumbling and like, you know, everything is like, you know, I mean, they're very similar type characters where they're always kind of getting themselves into trouble. They are a little bit high pitched and whiny, as and whatnot, and you know, so like it didn't really bother me because it just seemed to fit within the Star Wars mold that you kind of have a court jester basically, and you know, with seeing the rest of the prequels too, that really made sense since the whole thematic structure of the prequels very much mirrors something along the lines of like a Arthurian legend now, type of experience with knights and all that kind of stuff.
But what I really want to fixate on is you are literally the first human being I ever encountered who had seen the original movies who didn't particularly care for 3PO's humor. Like, that kind of blew my mind. I remember the first time where we discussed that, where I was like, what? Like, I honestly can't plug into that. And I think that that's funny in and of itself, because I layer that on top of, you may remember the first discussion we ever had about Force Awakens, how I made Finn work for me. Do you remember how it
You called him like the Jar Jar.
Right. I called him the Jar Jar character of the Force Awakens. And when I saw him in that light, I actually liked him more because it fit better. And I suddenly understood here was a character doing the same type of zany humor. Now, the thing that always bends my brain about Finn, and I want to get your read on this. Why is it the people hammer on Jar Jar for his zany silliness? And yeah, there are two jokes in that that I cite all the time. There are two jokes in there where I'm like, man, if they'd been cut, it would have been so much better. For his character and the acceptance of the character. But with Finn, I see them as very similar in terms of the type of humor they're going for. Why is it that people went for Finn and didn't go for Jar Jar? Like, what am I missing? What's the ingredient that I'm missing here?
I think with Jar Jar, it was the voice that didn't work for them. I think that put it over the top. And so, if Jar Jar had sounded more like a C-3PO, the prissy British butler, that's a way you can take that. It makes it more palatable. I think that voice grated on a lot of people and they just discounted that. And part of that is when you think about the original trilogy in general, there weren't a ton of aliens that we really spent a lot of time with.
True.
The movies are very much based around humanity, but the prequels allowed George to explore the universe in a much bigger sense. And part of that was allowing with the technology. I mean, one, he had more money to create the aliens that he always wanted to see. I mean, we all know how frustrating it was for him with the Mos Eisley Cantina. I mean, they actually had to go back and refilm those scenes so that they could get it kind of right, And so I think that's the other thing is, like, part of the prequel and just in general is, like, George was doing a lot of things that he could never do before, and I just don't think people were ready for the way in which aliens kind of sounded in Star Wars, which became, especially throughout the Clone Wars, that they had a specific, like, kind of accent or something, like Twi'leks being French, yada, yada.
Well, see, I think the alien angle, I think that's interesting. I think that the fact that the effect was completely digital, like, I think that if they had left it where it was Ahmed Best in the suit from the neck down and just animated the head, it would have probably played better for people. I think that speaks to it because I think that you're asking them to take, a couple of big leaps with your comic character where he's obviously not real. Mm-hmm. And then you have the voice and stuff like that. But, again, Jar Jar worked for me. But I think also, if I were to compare, I think Finn winds up getting a pass on a lot of things because, and this is not a knock on Lucas by any stretch, but I think that Abrams is more, he's a faster sort of cut for humor. I think that Lucas is not a humor director per se. He, there's rapid cuts and everything, but I would point to, for instance, that when the scene where Jar Jar gets zapped by the energy binders and then his hand gets caught in the engine and Padme walks over and pulls his arm out and it's this whole thing going on. Mm-hmm. That joke takes entirely too long to tell. Zap him with the binder, be done and move on.
Instead of
dragging that through. And I think that Abrams winds up, his movies move so fast that if a joke doesn't land, you don't sit with it. It just goes. Like even Jar Jar walking in to Mos Espa and stepping in the Bantha poodoo, or, I know it was not Bantha, but I just wanted to say that. But him stepping in the poo works better.
It could have been Bantha poodoo. That, how do you know? I mean,
it was awful small for Bantha.
It could also be Ronto poodoo or,
I imagine, Dewback.
Dewback poodoo?
I think Dewback, because we saw some Dewbacks walking around.
We've never really gone into poodoo on the show, but there you go,
we
folks.
Can.
We actually,
send us
we
in
totally
notes if you
wanted
to have
it.
A poodoo show. We're totally willing to go for that. The poodoo show. Totally down with that. I love you.
Oh, God.
Oh, stop me before.
That was funny. Yes, see, right? There we go. That's funny stuff
but,
there.
But again, that joke where he steps in it, the camera keeps going and the shot continues. And I think that's why that joke doesn't land, whereas Abrams, I think, has a different sensibility. But I still find tremendous similarities. I think it's because their arc is very similar in the sense that Finn is an outcast from a more serious society. He's kind of a bumbling fool. And then he gets his act together at the end and becomes the hero. And it's the same arc that Jar Jar follows, right? But Jar Jar, I think maybe Finn's humor gets a little bit redeemed because Finn gets serious at the end, whereas Jar Jar continues to be silly through the whole thing. I don't know. I mean, you know, that's my take.
I think you have a good point there. You know, if Finn does start out a very comedic character, and the situations that he's in and everything, I do think, again,
except of course for the slaughter of the village is not, that's not, we're not saying that's
no,
funny.
That's not funny.
That is not funny.
No, definitely not funny. But the when you're talking about one of the things that when you think about the original trilogy, and it's that fast-paced dialogue, right? And so Finn and Poe start to recreate that in the TIE fighter.
Yeah, that's true.
Back to Jakku. Why are we going? You know, like the whole thing plays like a conversation that you would see in the original trilogy in that sense. And in the prequel trilogy, the characters don't necessarily have that all the time. I think that really comes in more so in Attack of the Clones and in Revenge of the Sith, where there's more of that snappy dialogue. Specifically the Phantom Menace, it's not quite as snappy because it's so much more expository.
Well, I mean, it's also supposed to be evocative of a different time period. It's the end of the Golden Age.
Exactly.
Like, you know, I think people lose sight of the fact that in Phantom Menace, he's very much creating a world that is, you know, THX reminiscent of, you know, something more staid. Like there needs to be a loosening up of the culture. Everybody's too serious, you know. Now, granted,
no, absolutely. And again, when I referenced earlier, this kind of Arthurian court, everything is kind of more hoity-toity, civilized, in a sense. Everybody has a heightened sense of importance, and so there isn't that quick, snappy dialogue that you kind of get later on when everybody's on the run, things are moving so fast. Things aren't moving that fast yet, and they don't really start to do that until really the which just had its 15th year anniversary, Attack of the Clones, where things start to move quicker because the ball starts tumbling down.
I have a question for you though, because you know we're talking about comedy and the characters and everything like that. Our big duos, our big comic duos are, I would say, okay, we got Anakin and Obi-Wan carry the bulk of the humor with them. Would you agree?
Attack of the Clones and Sith? Attack of the Clones and, yeah.
I mean, granted, Sith
Well, and then Obi-Wan serious, himself, I mean, carries a lot of the humor.
Yeah.
In general, when he says in Attack of the Clones, oh, not good. I mean, that's funny.
Yeah, no,
it's really funny.
Got a legit laugh out of me. I remember, the theater laughing.
Yes,
but there was 3PO and R2 in the original trilogy. They were the comic relief. They were the two fools from Kurosawa, and then you have Poe and Finn. Now, where would you have seen the humor, or do you argue that it's Finn and Han that are the comic characters because Poe? I think that the structure of the story very much bears the marks of the fact that they originally killed him and then they decide to bring him back, later on. And they did originally, you know, they admitted that they had originally killed him in the script. He died on Jakku and then they decided to bring him back after the whole process was underway. Do you think that Force Awakens works? Is it Finn and Han are the comic duo, or is it Finn and Poe?
I think it's both. I think at the beginning of the story, it's definitely Finn and Poe together. Finn being the kind of more outlandish one, the more animated one. Poe's a little bit more the straight man.
Yeah.
And yet has that twinkle in his eye because he's like, you need a pilot. I need a pilot. You know, like, yeah, let's do this. I mean, that whole thing, like, it feels, again, it's very reminiscent of everything that you would expect from a character like Han to say. And then because Han is back and because he's interacting with this younger character who has a lot of him in there.
Yeah.
I think he sees a lot of himself in Finn, somebody who's kind of willing to run away from everything and
whoa,
all that stuff. You know, they
wait a minute.
They really connect.
They
have that relationship almost that him and Luke kind of did in some ways. But I think he sees more of himself in Finn than he likes.
But the thing is, I think you might have kicked on something there because we've all been debating what is the Han Solo standalone movie about. Both of them, Kasdan had a hand in writing. What if we do find out about that? My gosh, we could see a very interesting parallel. Now I'm in love with this theory, and I don't want to fall in love with it, that we're going to see Han mirror Finn in his movie.
Well, and because isn't it, I mean, from the Brian Daley books that Han was somebody who had been in the Imperial Academy.
They did not. I don't think they set that in stone per se until the A.C. Crispin books in the 90s.
Okay.
There had been sort of like oblique reference to it, but it was always one of those things that was left a little bit nebulous up until those books. And those books were great, by the way. I thought they were wonderful, but we know Kasdan doesn't feel held to that. But I think that there is a very strong argument where if Kasdan co-wrote both of those films, which we know he did, I think there's a strong argument that we could wind up getting a deeper appreciation for Finn thanks to the Han Solo movie. I think you're hitting on something there, that Han sees something in Finn that's very reminiscent of him, and that's why he's so gentle with him in terms of, you know, like, I mean, the we know Leia connection, but, you know, women always know, you know.
Exactly. And wouldn't it be great, you know, if Maz shows up too and he has a scene similar to what Finn does? And that's why he can say, I don't know, but it ain't good.
Right. That would be, wow. That would, see, I, now I've got, it's always
actually,
dangerous.
You made me interested finally in the Han Solo film for the first time ever.
Yes.
Like I'm actually somewhat interested now.
Flawless victory.
Exactly. Ah, good. Our first catch of the day.
Yeah, right. You know,
which
never
I always found that line funny. I always just loved that because you knew it wasn't going to go well for that dude.
I always found it funny because I was like, either that guy is really putting on a voice or they overdubbed him, because that was.
Yeah, he didn't seem like he had that voice.
Or no, but I mean, you could make the very, well, gosh, he's not as bad as in Return of the Jedi. I always kind of chuckle at inform the commander that Lord Vader's ship has arrived. It's like, wow, somebody's making the most of their time on screen.
That or when he's like, get my shuttle ready. I shall apologize to Lord Vader and take full responsibility.
That is funny. That is really, you're right. That is, that, you know what? And there is,
like, it's
some
a dark,
dark humor
right there.
No, but I think in the Star Wars movies, there's always been a little bit of dark humor. But okay, you know what? I want to throw down a challenge for you, because we've talked about like the scene that held to us. We mentioned the prequels. Funniest moment from a prequel movie for you. What made you laugh the most?
That is a good question. I'm trying to think of which one it is that just really, you know, I think it might be I love the Obi-Wan moment in Attack of the Clones. Actually, they both come in from Attack of the Clones.
Yeah.
When he's like, oh, not good.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Because it's just so earnest, you know, and it's so, he's like, oh, crap, why didn't I think I didn't think this through. But I also really like when Anakin's like, we decided to come and rescue you. And he's like, good job.
Yes.
Way to go, kid. Yeah. You know, like, it's so, so good. And it's not like the laugh out loud, but it gives you that smirk on your face that Obi-Wan has, you know? And so, yeah, there's just some... The prequels, I think, get bashed for having that over-the-top humor, right? But I think there's a lot of great subtle humor that, and people don't like to comment necessarily on the acting, but some of those characters brought their own gravitas, and Ewan McGregor was definitely the one who did most.
Oh, yeah.
And he just knew how to deliver a line. So
completely agree with you. I would have to say, as strange as it is, I mean, I think Attack of the Clones has the most humor of any of them. I don't know why specifically that is.
That's true, because Obi-Wan also has the line in Kamino where he's like, that's why I'm here.
And that's the one I was going to cite, was that one still gets a chuckle out of me. And again, that was another one that got a laugh in the movie theater. I remember at that midnight showing, you know, it was like, perhaps you'd like to view everything. That's why I'm here. You know, like, it's such a perfect delivery.
Yes.
I mean, you really got to give credit to Ewan McGregor, because he did something akin to what Mark Hamill did with Empire Strikes Back. Mark Hamill's performance sells Yoda.
Yes.
And Yoda has humor to him, but it really is, you know what? And we're sitting here, we totally overlook that when Yoda pretends to be the crazy little gnome.
Oh, I mean, that's gold.
When he is banging R2.
Yes.
Mine. And R2 won't let it go. That is such a brilliantly staged scene. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy to forget.
And it's a Muppet.
Right.
And a droid.
It's so easy to forget. Mark Hamill doesn't have those sound effects. And I think for most of the shooting, if not all, he couldn't actually hear Frank Oz. And he had to just go, like, they had to create it in the editing booth, but it was also his reactions that sell those things. And so I do that to draw a parallel with Ewan McGregor sold the Kaminoans with lines like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
With the way he did that.
And his reaction to seeing all the clones, where he's just like, oh, son of a, this is not good.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're absolutely right. He pulls that Mark Hamill and he makes you believe whatever it is. I mean, even when they're flying around Coruscant, you know, and he's like, I hate it when he does that.
Yes.
You know, like, everything about Ewan McGregor sells that he is where he is.
Yeah.
And so I just think, you're absolutely right. People would like to dog on Attack of the Clones, but Attack of the Clones is great stuff. There's so much in that movie that I love that, I dare to say that it, even talking about it, it's moving up in the rankings
there,
just because I'm thinking of all the moments that I can't get enough of in it.
Here is, I think probably the most delicate question is least favorite. I think you can probably break it out by film. I know there's... I know I got one in The Force Awakens where I'm like, okay. And I know I got one in The Phantom Menace. I struggle to think of anything from the original trilogy where it was a joke that didn't land. But I actually probably have one that rises above all of them in terms of a comic scene. But I want to get it from you first. What is something where you know it was supposed to be sort of funny, but it was like, man, this maybe should have been cut?
I can specifically think of the one I think is the most egregious, and it's in The Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm. I think I know the
scene. I bet you don't recognize me because of the red arm. Oh,
was that supposed to be funny?
I don't know what it's supposed to be, but
it was insulting, just doesn't need to be there. What it was.
And it's like totally ruining this moment, and I know that he's ruined moments before between them. Obviously, they're trying to reference, I think, Empire Strikes Back, where he's like, I know, the power coupling, I fixed it. And like, thank you. I mean, that's funny, but this is not funny because it's so forced.
It is forced. I'm not a fan of the red arm thing, but I will go all the way back, actually, to Revenge of the Sith. There is one moment in specific in that entire film that I don't like, where if I had the editor's scissors, I would very quietly, I'd be like, oh, I don't know what happened to that scene. We've already screened it, though, so we got to keep it this way. And it's when Obi-Wan cuts up the super battle droids when he's running up to join the fight against Dooku, and they cut to Palpatine, and he goes, yeah! It's still under my skin. I'm like, what?
It's so weird.
I'm like, number one, he wouldn't be happy about that, because he wants Obi-Wan out of the way. Number two...
Absolutely.
It was just didn't ring true. And it's like the one that of all of them, even Trash Compactor, like that's one of the ones where it's almost like I wound up forgiving that one over time, because it's like grandpa just doesn't, you know, get it. You know, the you know,
right.
That's sort of like what Han is by that point. But yeah, man, it's that one scene. I mean, but the thing is, it's hard for me to give that tops because I will always go back to Aopi fart. Because you want to talk about ruining the feeling of a scene.
Yeah, yep.
That Aopi fart during the flag presentation, the music is amazing and everybody going across.
Yes,
and then it's like, this was not the right spot for this.
Right. So. And, you know, I, you know, Lucas is famous, you know, for saying it's for kids and everything. But I do think you're absolutely right. There is always a moment where you can put in humor, and then there's a moment where humor can kind of change a scene in a way that you don't need to. And
right.
I think you're right. The kind of the grandeur of that scene gets ruined when you put in a
like you said, the red arm, the red arm thing ruins the tenderness of Han and Leia getting back together. Something that once the moment you find out in Force Awakens that they're not together anymore, you're like, oh no, wait, what? And like, this is the moment you've sort of been waiting for. So,
well, and one of the things too, because I want to add in here to the conversation, the Clone Wars. I think one of the things that the Clone Wars really did was give Anakin and Obi-Wan a lot of that time to banter.
Yes.
Back and forth. And it was always so much fun to have, you know, Matt Lanter and James Arnold Taylor going back and forth as these characters, and they did it so well. Especially, I'm thinking of Voyage of Temptation, when they're trying to protect the senator, Senator Satine, or they're trying to protect Satine and her entourage, you know, as they're flying back to Coruscant. And Obi-Wan has been having a hard time because she's just been riding him hard for being somebody who is a warrior now and not the Jedi he's supposed to be. And they've been battling back and forth. And they're riding up the elevator, him and Anakin.
Yeah.
And he's like, you go save your girlfriend, I'll go do this. And Obi-Wan realizes what he says as he's running away. He's like, she's not my.
Yeah, right.
You know, and it's just, it's that reservation for Obi-Wan Kenobi of like, well, anyway, whatever.
You know, there's actually a joke that was cut from Revenge of the Sith that I wish they would have left in, that I think would have been like a guffaw type of laugh. When they cut up the battle droids in the elevator, the original cut of that, they cut them up and one at a time, Obi-Wan and then Anakin, you hear Roger, Roger. You know, like they make fun of the Roger, Roger of the droids. And I'm like, that would have been so genius.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
Well, and I have to call out to one of my favorite moments of humor right now is from the Freemaker Ventures, and it's the very first episode, and it's the opening of the episode, and it's Darth Vader talking to the Emperor saying, it's the new and improved Death Star. And, oh, yeah, because that went so well last time. And he's like, well, I was there. And he's like, oh, that's right, you were there. Let's replay the tape. And they replay the Death Star trench run, and Vader going, I have you now. And the Emperor's like, oh, that's my favorite pot. I have you now. Like, it's just so funny the way that they poke fun at those moments and the relationships between the characters. It's the perfect... it's the perfect way to make light of Star Wars in a way that celebrates it and doesn't really make fun of it. And that's one of the things I love about that show, because all of the humor there is exactly like that, where it's just so lovingly ribbing what we all love.
Yeah, I always felt that way about Robot Chicken when they painted the Emperor as this put-upon bureaucrat, that like Vader was the source of all of his woes. I always thought that was that was funny too, but you know, just to close it out, the one movie we haven't talked about, Rogue One.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Now the thing is, I didn't find a whole lot of humor in Rogue One, but what was it that worked for you about the humor? I mean, everybody's going to point to K2SO. So let's just take him out of the conversation.
Absolutely.
His whole purpose was to be the Alan Tudyk one-liner machine. We know. That's not taking anything away from K2. We like him. We love him. I'm just saying, like, you got to kind of take him out. What were the humorous moments to you outside of the K2 stuff?
You know, the interactions between Chirrut and Baze.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those that have a sense of humor to them, and they kind of bring some levity to things I like. And I also, you know, I like the dark humor that kind of runs throughout the movie. You know, like everything's a if there is anything funny, it's usually taken in kind of a dark humor way.
Yeah.
By any of the characters, if they say anything. And, you know, I think that that's one of those things that I really enjoy about Rogue One is that it didn't force the humor beyond the I mean, it wasn't trying to make things funny because the movie's not funny.
Right.
There are some funny characters in there. And K2SO is definitely the comic relief in it. But they weren't trying to shove more humor than needed be there. They let the movie have the darker tone that it needs on purpose. And they didn't take away from that in any way. And so when the humor worked, and I think all the humor works, especially with K2SO, it's flowing perfectly with the movie, and it never runs counter to the rest of it. And mm-hmm. and that's what just, I think, you know, I don't know. It really works for me. What about you? Was there anything that you thought of in Rogue One? You're like, you know, that was unexpectedly funnier than I thought it was going to be there.
Oh, honestly, it was Chirrut and Baze, just because I thought that their banter was, it was old friends. You know, it was, you know, when Chirrut's walking off and, you know, it's, you know, in the rain, and he knows it's Baze that's going to, you know, follow and protect him. But then also when he beats up the Star Destroyer, also when he beats up the stormtroopers, and then Baze shoots the rest of them, mm-hmm. and he goes, you know, I trusted in the, you know, the Force saved me. He's like, it was me, you know, like,
yes,
that is that
yes.
sort of banter that
right.
I really enjoyed.
Or know? When they're walking out of the U-Wing and he's like, saying how dangerous it's going to be. And he's like, I don't, you need protection. I have you.
That's right.
You know,
yeah.
like those kind of things are, it's those just small moments of the characters. And I think that's what they really found is when there was humor, it came from the characters in a moment that felt real.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like they inserted it to try and get you to laugh.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's, again, like you said, that's what K2SO was for with Alan Tudyk. And he plays it perfectly because he knows how to craft the humor for mm-hmm. the moment.
Right.
He's very good at that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I Rogue One has some of the funniest moments in all of Star Wars. I mean, when he grabs the detonator and he's like, you two people are making a lot of noise for people trying to blend in, you know, and then just throws
probably,
it behind his back.
Probably,
I just, I love that stuff.
Probably my favorite one with K2, in all honesty, is no hostiles, and then Baze turns on him, one hostile. Like, that was, I thought that
yes,
was,
and
the thing is, I think that really speaks to how much more we're used to the digital character being the comedic character now. So
yep.
you can almost draw a line from Jar Jar to K2 mm-hmm. as, you know, as that sort of thing. But, you know, honestly, we would be, what do we hate being? Remiss. If we didn't ask you all, well, you know, what worked for you? What didn't work for you in humor in the
yeah.
Star Wars films or the TV shows or anything like that? Like, reach out, let us know. Like Matt said at the beginning of the show, go out to us on Twitter at Join Nerd Party or at the Jedi Masters is the official show account. Let us know what made you laugh. What tickled your fancy in Star Wars?
Well, everybody's doing that. What if they want to look you up and find you online with other podcasts you do or just want to talk to you about, you know, I mean, their funniest moment in Star Wars?
Oh, well, you can find me as Kessel Junkie on the internet, the avatar of Star Wars humor, if ever there was one. And you can also find me right here on the network co-hosting Great Shot Kid with Mike Schindler, where we look at, you know, the creative aspects, the creators of the Star Wars galaxy and, you know, other things that they have done and those sorts of things. You can find me co-hosting also with Mike Schindler on the Trek FM network, Stage 9, where we do that, but for Star Trek creators. And you can find me co-hosting Words with Nerds with my pal Craig, where we just kind of torture each other in a funny way every week. But that's where they can find me. And where can they find you, Matt?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at MattRushing02. I'm over on Instagram at MRushing. I'm also here on the network doing Outpost with Drea Kaufman. We are walking through every chapter of Harry Potter, so make sure you check us out. It's a lot of fun. We have a blast doing that show. I'm over on the Trek FM network as well. I'm doing The Org with Chris Jones. We talk about Star Trek Deep Space Nine. And then I do the General Geek Show over there, which is the 602 Club. And, I mean, we have such a jam-packed summer coming up for you. I don't know how I'm going to be able to afford to do the show. I feel like I'm at the movie theater every single weekend because there's so much coming out this year. And we're trying to give you as much as possible. So make sure you check it out. It's a lot of fun. And in fact, we've had some great actual Star Wars supplementals over there as well with some book reviews and stuff. So make sure you check those out. And I think you'll love them. But John, I think there's only one thing left to say. I think it's time to close negotiations.
Matt, negotiations are closed.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.